What's up?
Play the music.
Let's do it.
1, 2, 3. Backwards.
Welcome to the Bank Bro Show, everybody. You already know what it is. My boy Rizzy is here. I'm here, just ready to have an amazing show that we have in store for you. And boy, oh boy, is it packed full of sports, but mostly just two. And we're going to get into some UFC predictions. And we got a very special second segment for you today. So we wanted to make sure we got right into it, make sure we got plenty of time to dig into all the topics we want to talk about tonight. Weekend was pretty good, though, sir.
Yeah, man. Can't complain. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Me either.
Saw the family. Saw my brothers.
Hey.
Saw my mom. They were in town. They live in Michigan, so.
Okay. Yeah.
Always good to see them. Celebrated my sister's birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday to your sister.
Hey.
It's a family affair tonight, I think. We'll let them know about that a little bit later. mm-hmm. But let us begin before we bring in some special guests a little bit later. Let's talk about UFC 300 because that is coming up this weekend. It's a huge, huge fucking show. Everyone's talking about it. Me personally, I think it's one of the best cards I've seen. I wish there was a couple more that I was hoping for, but we'll get those a little bit later, I'm sure, down the line. But everything from the early prelims, the prelim card, and the main card are just completely stacked. There's bangers sprinkled all over the fucking place. So it's going to be an amazing weekend. We are, of course, going to do some shot bets. Take some bets for that. And a very special shot bet as well. I think we should probably start with the special shot bet, correct?
Yes, let's start with that one.
Let's start
with
that one.
Explain to the people what it is, man.
So I'm calling this one the cash-in bonus. And what it is, because normally, like my boy and I like to bet on, is wins and losses. If you lose, your pick for the bet, you do take a shot. Normally, we try not to go into a bunch of like differences in rounds. It kind of depends on the fight. Normally, we keep it pretty straight up. But the cash-in bonus, I wanted to make this very special because of the special card. And I wanted Ryan to pick one extra fight, and I'll pick one extra fight anywhere on the card that we think we have a really good chance of making a correct bet. If we're wrong, we have to take a double shot. If you're right, you can use that to erase a shot that you have to take. So kind of a double or nothing kind of bet for it. So I'm very interested to know what this cash-in bonus pick you have is. Because there's a lot you can pick from.
This was very easy for me.
Oh, good.
There's a lot of good fights on the card. But there's one prelim fight I am dead set on. I have no doubt in my mind this guy's going to win. And it's Jalen Turner versus Moicano.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was going to be your pick.
And I got Jalen Turner by TKO. Getting him out of there early. Probably nice. First round.
I can see that. Jalen Turner 14-7 and Moicano is 18-5. So pretty similar records. A little more experience for Moicano. But, I mean, we know Jalen Turner. That guy is phenomenal. Great up-and-comer right now. So
Jalen Turner's lost a lot of close decision fights to a lot of good fighters. For example, Dan Hooker. Just the name one. So I think Jalen Turner's battle tested. I like the range. I like his height advantage, his reach advantage. And I think, like I said, his tools in the stand-up game are just one of the best in the division. So I think Jalen Turner comes in there and knocks out Moicano. Moicano, I saw his last fight. He struggled at first, eventually got the win. I believe it was by decision, if I'm not mistaken. But afterwards he had a fucking lit ass post fight interview. low key like him for that, but bad matchup with Jalen Turner.
Oh yeah. I'm looking at the stats now. Jalen Turner is 6 years younger, has a C6'2" to Moicano's 5'9", and Jalen Turner has a 5-inch reach advantage. So
Jalen Turner at 6'2"?
Yeah. Well, that, you know, this is Google we're talking about. So that might not be the official, but yeah, that reach advantage is significant. So you could just piece someone apart with that much range as an advantage. And I expect that from Turner. I would agree with you, but I'll take that double shot, or you might be able to erase one of yours with that one. I like that fight. Mine is very fun, and I'm again, surprised it's not on the main card just because of who's involved with it, but I am going with Holly Holm and Kayla Harrison.
I knew you were going to pick a women's fight.
I had to. This is Harrison's first UFC fight. She was a PFL superstar, multiple gold medals in judo, dominated as a lightweight champion. And we know Holly Holm. That's a curse breaker. That's the one who slayed Rousey. She's got her own accolades when it comes to just, I mean, elite level boxing skills all over the world. It's insane. We know she can strike. We know she's got good combos. She can knock you out pretty fucking easily if she wanted to. And she's just a great all-around talent. So really looking forward to this. Again, I'm shocked this isn't on the main card because Kayla Harrison, if you know anything about PFL, like, she was a superstar. So especially after bringing in Michael Venom Page last go-around when we did this, and having someone like Kayla Harrison, in my opinion, is that same level of superstar that they are hoping she can be. So surprised it's a little bit. I believe it's on the prelim card, but I will take it. But Kayla Harrison, 16-1, Holly Holm, 15-6. This one for me, surprising. I have Kayla Harrison winning this one.
Okay.
And a lot of this, and like I said, with Holm, I know I respect her tremendously, but Harrison is an animal on the ground. I feel like her wrestling ability here is really going to help. And if she can get home on the ground, I mean, the ground and pound is her signature. That's how she's finished a lot of people in her division. So it's a little different. Home is a lot craftier than a lot of her competition in PFL. But I think Harrison has got enough juice as a grappler to make this a very interesting fight. I think she does enough. And I'm going to say like a second round victory here. Like, I think she opens some eyes right away. So that is my official pick for the cash in. God, I hope I'm right, because a double shot sounds fucking awful as I drink whiskey right now.
Yeah, I had to go for that double shot. I had to go with somebody I have complete confidence in, man. You can't just fucking throw darts at the wall. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, no. That's high stakes, bro.
Yeah.
God. My God. All right. Let's get into the main card, because that's what everybody wants to talk about, of course, because this card, again, is beautiful. It's a beautiful card. So first off, let's start with Bo Nickel and Cody Brundage. How do you see this one going, sir?
This one's pretty easy to predict, man. Bo Nickel is going to win because of the machine. Honestly, he'll probably win by decision, in my opinion.
Oh, if it goes to decision, yeah, I can see it.
I just think, I don't know, man. It's a guy the UFC's pushing against a guy that nobody really knows.
Very true.
So in my opinion, this fight should have been on probably the early prelims, because there's a lot of the early prelim fights that I'd rather watch over this fight. Like,
I would absolutely agree.
Like Figgy versus Cody Garbrandt.
Yes. How is that not on the main card either? What the hell?
Two former champions.
Right. Like,
makes no sense at all.
I understand like the five match card, but it's like, this is 300. Like, I'm sure fans would be okay if you made like a 7-fight card or something. They're already sitting for all these fucking matches between three separate cards. Like, make some of these feel a little more important. But yeah, I'm surprised. I would definitely switch out the Bo Nickel match, but what can you do? That's their guy right now.
That's their guy, and that's why he's going to win. So Bo Nickel by machine.
By machine. I love by machine. I am also going with Bo Nickel. I think Brundage is – I've seen Brundage before. I'm not as familiar with Brundage, but I know I have seen his last couple of fights. He is a problem. He will be a test for Nickel, but Nickel overall, I just think – second round chokeout. He's got much better wrestling skills. We know he can strike. Brundage is decent. I would say he's decent. Maybe on the upswing, maybe a couple more, you know, bigger fights for Brundage might get him where he wants to go. But Nickel right now is on a tear through the middleweight division. I don't see that slowing down anytime soon. Dana White's going to feed this guy as many cans as he wants. And I'm not calling Brundage can, but this is pretty much a wrap. This is the easiest one I can figure out.
Compared to Bo Nickel, like, he is a can.
I mean,
he's what, 10-5?
Yeah, I believe so. So it's 10-5.
Undefeated.
5-0.
Yeah. He's a can compared to him.
All right. Next up, very interesting fight. Lightweight division is our boy, beloved Charles Oliveira, returning to the octagon to take on Armand Sarukian. How do you see this one going?
This fight is going to be a banger. Charles Oliveira, very well-rounded, excellent Brazilian jiu-jitsu, most submissions in UFC history. Armand Sarukian gave Islam his toughest fight outside of Islam getting knocked out, his toughest fight in the UFC to date. Even a tougher matchup for him than Volkanovski was.
Yeah.
And Armand, he's nobody to take lightly. Very well-rounded as well. Can strike, can grapple. But Charles is a different animal. Charles will probably keep this fight standing. I don't think Armand is going to try to take him down because he's aware of the submission artist that DuBronx is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think DuBronx wins by stoppage.
Ooh.
Probably a left hook.
He's calling the hook. Nice.
I love the way DuBronx throws that left hook. It's so technical, so clean. He doesn't overextend. Right hand is where it's supposed to be. Left hand is never, like I said, never overextended. Quick. has that nice 90 degree, you know what I'm saying, that they teach.
Yeah.
Boom, yeah. Right on the button. I think Armand goes down. DuBronx wins by TKO.
I like it. I actually had similar thoughts. That's interesting. I believe Oliveira is the winner of this fight, and I absolutely agree Sarukian is dangerous.
Yes.
Dangerous, especially on the ground. So, Oliveira, to me, honestly, is just the epitome of battle-tested. So, even as dangerous as Sarukian can and will be in this fight mm-hmm. and future fights, Oliveira is a world-class striker. World-class. So, I think I'm not going to go stoppage. I'm going to say just a UD. I think this goes a distance. And I think Sarukian is going to open a lot of eyes, too, of how well he does in this fight. Because I don't have Oliveira just taking him out. Like, I think this is going to be a war. Mm-hmm. And I feel Sarukian makes a little more of a name for himself than he already has, which is crazy. But I think Oliveira is just a little more experienced in these high-profile matches that he is going to unleash the game plan, as he always does, and give us a show. But I think it goes to decision. I think Oliveira comes out with a win and keeps that positioning very close to the top of his division. So let's go, DuBronx. You know you're my boy.
I agree with everything you said up into the UD part, only because history tells us differently. You see, Charles has been in there with Gaethje, with Poirier, Michael Chandler. The best of the division has to offer. Every single one of them fights has been a war. And every single time, DuBronx has stopped that war. So
you're not wrong. You're not, and I'm not saying he doesn't have the ability to do it again. Absolutely. I just know Saruki, and I know I've seen his fights, and I go, he's a crafty little bastard too. So
he is.
That's where I'm like, I think this is gonna be more of that full on all the way down here. So,
and I'll say this: either DuBronx wins by stoppage, or Armand wins by stoppage.
Ooh, you don't think it's going to
decision. This ain't
at
going
all.
Decision. No.
This is
no.
I like it.
Someone's
like
getting
it.
Ended. All right. And DuBronx ain't the one.
Ended. Oh shit. I sure hope so. I hate decision fucking matches too. I swear to God. So
unless they're wars.
Unless they're wars. I mean, I get if it's a full on war and we're all clapping and you're bloody and shit, great. But a lot of these UDs are like,
okay, he's hugging him on the ground. Oh, now he's humping him on the ground. Oh, they switched positions.
It's too much Pornhub, man. It's too much Pornhub. But yes, you're not wrong. It's just like, oh my God. So if I could see this being a war for a decision, but I would love a stoppage here either way. But I'm saying Oliveira for the win here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad you brought up Gaethje because he's in our next fight. The BMF title, that fucking title that no one gives a shit about, but we'll watch it anyway. It's on the line as Justin Gaethje defends against Max Holloway, who is a stud in the octagon. But what do you think, sir? I know how we both feel about Gaethje, but I know how you feel about Max Holloway. So
yeah,
I'm curious on your pick here.
Well, I mean, I'll start with Justin Gaethje. I mean, he powerful, knockout artist, wrestling background. So, you know, he's well-rounded, but he'd rather stand up and fucking hit you with something to knock you out.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
always looking to knock you out at any given moment. He's trying to throw you into the ground with his fist or with Poirier, his feet.
That's plan A through Z.
A through
knock
Z.
Knock him out.
Knockout, 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 TKO, TKO, knockout.
It's so accurate.
And I think that plays right into Max Holloway's hands.
Mm.
I think Max Holloway wins this fight.
Woo!
Off of two things. Volume.
Yes.
And with volume comes cardio, because Max Holloway keeps the pressure going. He gets better as the fight goes on.
Yep. Cardio guy. Total.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Justin Gaethje's cardio. I'm just saying Max Holloway's cardio is Hall of Fame, purple badge on 2K type.
Oh, yeah.
And then number two, technique. Max Holloway is one of the most technical strikers, specifically boxers, in the UFC. Any weight division. He's coming up to the next weight division, the lightweight division, to take on Justin Gaethje, who loves to stand up and bang. Pause.
Don't we all?
And so I think Gaethje's going to draw his attacks in. I mean, not Gaethje. I think Max is going to draw his attacks in with feints, make them miss, pop them quick with one twos, boom, get back outside, control the distance. People forget Max Holloway is almost 6 feet tall.
Yeah. I always forget that too.
Yeah. So he was very tall for the division. He just has shorter arms for his height. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I think Max Holloway will pick Justin Gaethje apart on the feet. I'm not saying Justin Gaethje is not going to do shit. He'll probably land some big shots. But one thing Max Holloway is known for is a fucking chin.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in the cage with some of the guys that hit the hardest that the UFC's ever seen.
Absolutely.
He's been in there with Dustin Poirier.
That's right.
Dustin Poirier ain't knock him out. So, I mean, and Poirier and Gaethje, they have comparable power.
Absolutely. They're so even.
Yeah, as far as power goes. Yeah, obviously, power. Fighting style is a little different.
Different.
But I think, like I said, Gaethje's style fits right in, plays right into Max Holloway's hands, and Holloway's just going to pick him apart on the feet, take minimal damage. Well, I wouldn't say minimal damage.
minimal damage
compared to what everyone else is thinking he's going to take, because everyone thinks he's going to get knocked the fuck out.
I mean, shit. I see a lot of that smoke out there.
Now, this is going to be a 3-round war.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Max by UD.
All right. I like it. I like it. I agree with everything you're saying, but I have Gaethje in this one. But, man, when you talk about chins, that's the note I wrote down too. Max Holloway is so fucking hard to knock out. It's ridiculous. And both these guys are really known for, like you said, going the distance, going to war, trying to get a knockout, mixing shit up. And you know Gaethje has been in some of the best wars we've ever seen. Holloway, in his own right, is fantastic. This, for me, honestly, comes down to just one real thing. And it's just like you said, it's cardio. And I really think, as if you make Holloway stay honest with a bunch of leg and body kicks early, I feel Gaethje is going to get a split decision here. And that's rare for me to say a split. That's how respectful of Holloway I am. I think he's got enough in his tool bag to make that a very long night for Gaethje. And I feel like when you said like minimal damage almost, I was like, I'm expecting these guys to be bloody at the end of this. And that's what I'm really hoping for. I feel it goes the distance, but I think Gaethje outpoints Holloway. And it's the volume is going to be really in play here. If Holloway is coming out swinging, this might go the other way. That's why I have it as a split. It's because I'm like, these guys are so similar in their styles where I go, oh, there's a lot of bombs being thrown in this one. So point-wise, I have a split for Gaethje, but I am not. This is the one I'm the least confident about. I have no idea. We'll see, but that one might bite me in the ass.
We'll see. So far, that's the only one we disagreed on.
Right. Finally. It's been
so
like,
that's fun. Yeah.
We had like
that's
10 in a row.
7 fights in a row, some shit like that, if you count the other card.
Jesus Christ. Like, it's crazy. But, yeah, the last card, I would say, like you said, probably a little more predictable, at least at the top of the card. But this one, I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I like both these guys.
Yeah. This is definitely, in my opinion, probably going to be fight of the night.
If it's Gaethje, you always have a chance at that shit, especially if it's with Holloway. These guys
and Holloway,
artists. Yeah. These guys are artists. I can't wait for that fucking fight. That's going to be one of the best we've seen all year. And it's only April. I'm going to go ahead and call that. It's going to be one of the best you see all year. I bet.
I agree. Top three all year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, this next fight, I hope, is the fight of the year, because we have been talking about this. We have been wishing for it. We've been trying to manifest it. And it's finally here. And that is Weili Zhang against Yao Jianan. And I am over the moon that we are getting this fight. I can't wait. How do you see it happening, sir? Because this one is a very intriguing fight.
I mean, Wei Li, she's just turned into probably the most well-rounded female fighter we've ever seen.
Absolutely true. My God.
I mean, ground game. She's developed that. Stand up. You already know she had that. And then Yan, one of the best strikers in women's fighting history.
That's really.
Where she struggles though, and where I think this fight is gonna bite her in the ass, is the ground game.
Yep.
Wei Li, she has total control in this fight. And what I mean by that is when you can wrestle, when you can strike, when you can grapple, and when you have jiu-jitsu, you can take the fight to the ground whenever the fuck you want.
Yep.
Because you know the other person is at your mercy, because all they can do is stand up.
Right.
All they can do is one thing. Now, that only works if you're like a Mighty Mouse, if you're like a Wei Li, where you're at the top of the class in everything in your division. And that's what Wei Li is. And that's why I think Wei Li wins this fight. But I think she wins it by decision.
Mm.
This is going to be a 5-round war. Wei Li's going to pull it out. Pause. Wei Li's going to pull this win out towards championship-ish rounds. I'd say by the middle of the third round is when she really takes over this fight.
Mm.
Takes down Xiao Nan. Maybe throw in some submissions. Bring her back to her feet. Piece her up a little bit. Have Xiao Nan thinking about the takedown. Changing levels. Fainting. I see Wei Li dominating the later half of this fight. And I think she wins probably 3-2 or 4-1.
Mm, I like it. And both of the metrics for both these women, they're dead even. It's dead even practically the entire way down. Age, height, weight, reach. So I love the matchup here. I'm a big fan of both these ladies. This is actually the very first ever title fight between two Chinese fighters in UFC history. So that is already
my Asian sisters.
Man, that is breathtaking. That's fantastic. And yeah, Wei Li is a stamina monster. Let's not even sugarcoat that. That girl could probably fight for 10 rounds. I don't know how she does it. The girl is built differently. I love Xiao Nan. She has a motor of her own. So let's not even take that away from her either. Xiao Nan can go.
Yeah.
She's very precise with her timing. I think Wei Li uses her experience and like a good amount of strike combos, like you said, the wrestling ability to her advantage. I have this as Wei Li winning in the fourth. I do think it gets that far where Yan is going to start putting it together a little bit to try to even things up. But that's when Wei Li is going to kick in and she's going to remember those fights with like Joanna, with Thug Rose, like where this is where you're going to start pulling ahead, not pulling out, like you said.
Mm.
But I also feel, yes, championship rounds. I don't see it going at all five just because I think Wei Li, again, her power is somehow understated still. We've seen her bludgeon women, but we still don't talk about the power as much as I think we should. She is a true knockout artist. It's just,
she is.
You just don't see it in that division all the time. So I think people aren't used to it. But the women's strawweight division is all speed. So it's like she is the perfect combination of speed and power, in my opinion. So the sky's still the limit. I still think this is a title fight. I still think as a champion, Wei Li still can keep growing if she really wants to. I just don't see a lot in her division that could stop her at this point. The way she's putting it together, Yan is going to be a great, great fight for her. But I think it's another stepping stone on Wei Li cementing a GOAT status down the line. Like, that's how much I love her, and I love both these fighters, but I have Wei Li in the fourth here. I'm going to say TKO. TKO.
TKO. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, definitely possible. I mean, I know Joanna was, like, older, latter half of her career, but...
True.
I mean, Wei Li knocked her out.
Exactly. And that first fight is still my all-time favorite fight.
Oh, my God. That we might get that with this fight.
That's what I'm hoping for. The fight between those two, like I said, Google it. Look at the images. Look at their faces after the fight. It's insane. They look like aliens. Huh. They look like, you know, Klingons. Like,
you know in Def Jam when, like, you beat the shit out of each other and, like, you can see all the markings at the end of the fight?
Yes.
When, you know, you got to talk shit at the end or whatever?
Right. That's how you do it. I'm gonna age myself and say it's like Mike Tyson's punch out after you win a round.
Oh, my God.
And you see them in the corner just like, if like the
pixels,
burden, the pixels and the knots of their forehead and shit, that's gonna be this fucking fight. It's gonna be an old school knockout brawl. I cannot fucking wait for that fight. That's gonna be hopefully again fight of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about the main events because again, intriguing, especially when they signed it. I was like, that's the headliner, huh? Okay, but the more I thought about it, the more I actually really like this matchup. Alex Pereira is putting the light heavyweight championship on the line against Jamahal Hill, who never actually lost the title. He had to give it up. And what was it, injury or illness or something like that?
Tore his Achilles.
That's what it was, tore Achilles, which is, oh, goddamn. But he's finally back, ready to go, trying to get his belt back. But Pereira, who's only recently joined this division, already champion, already tearing through everybody. He's a monster as a light heavyweight. Insane. But the title's on the line. How do you have this going, sir?
Man, first of all, when this fight first got signed, I was ecstatic. Because right away, like, I'm a fan of Jamal Hill. I've been following his career for the longest. He's from Michigan. He's a Lions fan, too.
That's right.
Love Jamal Hill. I mean, and obviously, Alex Pajeda, he's been the ultimate villain, right?
Yeah.
Into the people's champion for some reason. You know what I mean? Like,
so weird.
And rightfully so. Knockout power, patient fighter, always fun to watch.
Absolutely.
This is going to be a great matchup. Both guys like to stand up, throw hands. Both guys can knock you out at any given moment. Both guys are actually very technical as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Hill doesn't get enough credit for how technical and how skilled he is on the feet and with his boxing. But obviously, we know who Alex Pajeda is. All-world mm-hmm. kickboxer. Doesn't grapple for shit. So he's known for his hands. You know, they call him Boathon, hands of stone. You feel me?
Hands of stone. That's so dope.
Jamal Hill, I'm curious to see if he comes out in southpaw.
Mm.
He switches stances a lot. And I mentioned in the past, when Alex Pajeda goes against a southpaw, say, like, a la Izzy, when Izzy was switching stances on him,
mm-hmm.
he didn't really know what to do. Like, he would pause and he would be hesitant. And I think Jamal Hill might come out and do that. I think Jamal Hill comes out in southpaw. I think he's going to line up that backhand, that left hand.
Mm.
And he's going to switch back up to orthodox, pop his jab off, get his right hand off, pause.
Woo-hoo!
Avoid leg kicks. That's the biggest thing. He must avoid the leg kicks. If he does not avoid the leg kicks, he might be fucked. I'm just going to come out in here and be completely honest. He might be fucked.
Thank you.
but, I mean, I think Jamal Hill is ready for this. I think Jamal Hill is ready to show why he never lost the belt. Again, Jamal Hill does not have to hit you clean to knock you out. The way he hit Johnny Walker, he hit him like up here somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it glanced off the top of his head, and Johnny Walker flew back like he had no more legs, like he was a dying goose that got shot in the middle of butt-fuck nowhere, Wisconsin.
That was so specific. Oh, my God.
So,
fucking goose.
I got Jamal Hill by KO.
Oh, wow. Jamal Hill is huge.
KO, round two. Jamal Hill brought up something very interesting that I must bring to your attention.
Okay.
That is, nobody that Alex has fought a ton of people.
Sure.
And Alex has never outclassed a single one of them.
Mm.
Alex has only caught him with the shot. And that's what makes Alex so great. But I think Jamal Hill has enough skill to neutralize that to a certain extent.
Sure.
Because Pajeda's going to... He's going to get his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get hit.
But I just think Jamal Hill is going to land that shot. And I think he's going to pop his jab off. Alex is a little too patient, in my opinion.
I can see that.
And I think that's going to bite him in the butt.
I like it. That'd be huge. That'd be a big, big fucking title win for Hill. And puts a lot of doubt to rest. Because I agree. I definitely have heard some of the slights against Hill, especially as a champion, when he first got the damn championship. It was kind of a, how legitimate is he? He's still a little bit more of an unknown, still a little bit newer to the game, at least for the casual fan. But with Pajeda, I've learned a long time ago to stop betting against Pajeda. I can't keep doing it because he makes me pay for it every single time. He's like Pat Mahomes, motherfucker. He's like the Kansas City Chiefs. For some reason, he just seems to win. So
he lands a good shot.
He lands a great shot. Just like you said, I think he's going to just land a really fucking good shot and actually win this. But you brought up one really good point that I'm glad you said out loud. It's the leg kicks. Those leg kicks are insane. They're insane. They're like a damn gunshot. And
that's
I feel exactly. Both these guys, again, very even in metrics. That 79-inch reach is crazy. So I'm expecting a little bit of a chess match at first. Like you said, Pajeda's very patient, too patient sometimes. It can feel a little slow. But when he is calculated, he will fuck you up. And it turns on a dime, too. This is something where I see a lot of takedown attempts being tried and stuffed just on both sides. I think Pajeda's got a great takedown defense. I don't think that's really going to happen. He's going to stand up a lot in this fight. And I think that I'm saying a decision win for Pajeda to keep his title. Mm. But I think Hill makes him work for every fucking second of it. And I don't know as much about Hill's overall game as I do Pajeda's. And Hill is somebody who surprises me when he fights. He's very clever, too. But Pajeda, I think, again, it's hard to bet against him. The leg kicks to me are devastating. And I think as long as he doesn't get a hot head about it and play Hill's game, Pajeda can not cruise, because that's the wrong word, but piece himself to a regular standard. I'm not even going to say unanimous decision. I'm going to say it's another split. Just because I think Hill has enough tools. I think he's got enough skill to make this like a scary fucking fight for Pajeda. So again, I'm not as confident, but I'm picking Pajeda. I'm going to say all five rounds, and I'm going to say a split decision.
Okay.
It's going to be that's a real interesting one to me too. It's just because both these guys are just so, I hate saying long and lanky because that, pause moment, but they're both very long and lanky. We like the long and lanky guys. Pause again.
No diddy.
It's right. It's so fun to say. Oh my God. So yeah, that's going to be fireworks in pretty much every one of these fucking fights. I don't care how quick or long they go. It's going to be dope for all fucking five fights. Hopefully our cash in bonus fights are dope too, even though they're prelim fights, doesn't matter. It's going to be an amazing card. And again, make sure you come back next week. We'll have the results and plenty of shots, about 6 shots on the line here, 7 shots possibly. So
1, 2, 3, 4.
How's it 4? There's 5 fights, and the last one could be a double
shot.
Oh, if
you count the ones that we agree on, then yeah.
Oh, good point. Yes. Yeah. So possibly 4 to 7 shots is a possibility here. So that could be a long night for one or both of us. We'll see how that goes. Nice. They are both on time. That is fantastic. I think it's the first time in our history that the guests have been on time when we asked them to. Crazy.
And they're both fucking Asian. Remember when I told you about home time?
That's right. That's absolutely insane. But that's perfect timing because it's time for us to get into the biggest topic of the night. And we have some special guests that we want to bring in to discuss it with us. So let me bring them in the room.
This
what is that picture? There we go.
What up? Yes,
okay.
What's up?
There we
go.
Got it. Okay, there we go.
What's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, CJ?
Hey, CJ.
How are you tonight?
Wonderful.
Good. How are you?
Hey, doing excellent as always. For our fans, my boy Rizzy here has mentioned his family many fucking times in the show. So we thought with NBA playoffs coming up, we should bring in two very special guests. Please welcome Rizzy's brothers, Kenny and Stefan. Welcome to the show, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, sir. So, yes, like we mentioned, I wanted to get into NBA playoff talk because we are just at the door here. Playoff tournament starts April 16th to the 19th. Most of the seeding is somewhat finalized. I don't see a lot being shaken up here. And with you three being just crazy knowledgeable basketball fans, way more than I am, I feel I'm going to play a little more mediator while you guys discuss. What I really want to know is for each of you, how do you see the playoffs going? Do you have a dark horse team that you could see sneaking in, winning it all? And I do want you to kind of go through each of these brackets and say, hey, who's winning? Who you got? And, say it with your whole chest, too. I want to start. Let's start with Rizzy and just going through the play-in tournament. Kind of how you see it going. And then I'll kick it to Kenny. Then I'll kick it to Stefan. And we'll kind of do this round-robin style and see what you guys compare. Does that make sense to everybody else?
Yep.
All right. So are we starting with the East or the West?
However you want to go, sir.
All right, I'm going to start with the East because I think the East is very easy to predict. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I keep going blurry.
That moisturizer, bro. Lather it all. Your camera's like, what the fuck, dude?
Can't pick up a single pore. Like, what the fuck?
No, man. I'm over here sweating because I'm drinking whiskey, and my shit is still in focus. So I know your ass is just slathering butter all over this shit. Get it together, buddy. Bro. Yeah, see
all right, man. Hey, good looking, man.
You gotta lock in, bro.
Let me. All right, so we start with the play-in. So if the season were to end today, 7 plays 8 for the 7th seed. Sixers are 7, Heat are 8. This is going to be a great matchup, especially with Joel Embiid back healthy. I think Joel Embiid changes everything for the 76ers. Obviously, I think they lock up the 7th seed. I think Embiid is just a problem. Nobody on the Heat can guard him. I love Bam, but Bam is just too small.
I agree.
Bam can't do anything with him on the block, but nobody in the East could really guard Joel Embiid on the block. And then you got Tyrese Maxey, who's probably going to win Most Improved Player. Them Kentucky guards are built different.
As he should.
If he's a guard, and he went to Kentucky, he's probably going to be an all-star at some point in his career. Unless your name is Jamal Murray because you play in the West.
Yep. Oops.
Jeez. Never going to get it.
And then 8-9, I mean, Bulls, Hawks, who gives a fuck? I'm sorry, CJ. Who gives a fuck? Like,
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, that is right.
I said the same thing, don't worry.
I mean, I love DeMar DeRozan. He's one of my favorite players to watch. He's so smooth in the mid-range. Post-game, oh my God. One of the best I've ever seen from the two-guard spot. Yes, he's still a two-guard, even though he plays fucking power forward now.
That's true.
Don't forget about Kobe White. He's been killing it this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Kobe White, too. Yep. Kobe White has been balling.
Big fan. Big fan.
But I say who gives a fuck, because both of these teams are going to lose to mine.
Yeah. Oh, that is
– No offense taken. That's just facts.
It's going to – Jimmy Butler is – Jimmy Butler is going to lose to the Sixers, the team that let him go for Tobias Harris, and be like, Tobias Harris over me? And go crazy on Chicago or Atlanta. And then as far as a dark horse in the East, I just want to come out and say – nobody has a fucking shot to be a dark horse in the East. Nobody's beaten Boston this year. Nobody has a fucking shot to beat Boston this year. Not even Milwaukee. And I told y'all about Milwaukee. I told y'all in June, or was it July?
When they July.
July or August, when they made the trade for Dame, that shit didn't mean nothing.
Yep.
Because if Drew Holiday goes to Boston and he ended up going to Boston, it's over.
It's a wrap.
They lost their defense.
So, yeah, Celtics, I'll take the Celtics. Fuck the field. The field going to lose.
I like it. I like it.
Who are we kicking? Oh, yeah, Kenny.
Kenny, let's go play in for the East as well, sir. How do you got it going?
The only team that's like a dark horse for me is probably the Heat, just because of the matchup between the Heat and the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. I believe the record between them is like 2-2, I think. And I think the Heat probably has like a pretty good chance against them. But obviously, since the way Boston's been playing this season, it's probably going to be reps. But yeah, I don't really see anyone competing with Boston this year. I think that they're going to host a trophy at the end of this season or when the finals comes. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. It's interesting that everyone's already like, Boston's got it wrapped, because we said the same thing about Milwaukee last year on this show. I said, Milwaukee's got it wrapped. No one else in the East can touch him. Boy.
And they lost the first one.
I ate a whole ass shoe for that one. They got destroyed. So I don't do that sweeping. They're beating everybody anymore, because now I'm like, I have no idea. But yes, Boston to me is like, I don't know how you don't vote for them to win the entire thing at this point. But we'll see. Playoffs or playoffs. Doesn't take much. Season's going to be over. Playoffs start. Ask Jimmy Butler when the playoffs start. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
That's fair. All right, Stefan, what do you got, bro?
All right. Okay, so I was looking at the bracket. The play-in bracket, and I was thinking the Heat were gonna take the Sixers, but I completely forgot Joel Embiid was back.
Now
the choice is pretty obvious. And then, like what Ryan said, Hawks and what's it called?
The Bulls. What's
the other team? Yeah, the Bulls. Yeah, who cares? Who gives a shit? Yeah, who gives a fuck? Because either one of them are gonna lose, bro. So it don't matter.
That was perfect.
Who cares
again? No offense taken, guys. Yeah. I don't know why we're in this bracket.
Bro, the Pistons have won 13 games. That's all good.
Right. Like, a consolation prize. So fucking stupid, but go on.
Obviously the Boston, Boston's going to take it all the way. What Ryan said with the Bucks, honestly, I was hoping for more, but obviously they lost a lot of their defense. So that took out everything. They're still really good, though. The duo is still really good. Somewhat.
Yeah.
Duo is really good. With Dame when Giannis
out. Even when Giannis was out. And even – actually, I was going to say with Dame out, too, but, nah, they're not really looking that hot, especially at the end of the season. And Giannis being hurt.
Exactly. I was just going to say.
Yeah, but he'll be back, I think.
Hopefully.
He will be back, but, yeah. Like, I didn't even see what kind of injury. It's like a leg injury, but I'm not sure how severe it looked. But
I think it was like his calf or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, like that could linger. You never know what calf injuries. That's, they don't always heal right. So
hey, remember during when the Bucks won the championship, Giannis hyperextended his leg.
Hyperextended
his leg, and he came right back.
Yeah. It looked like he caught three ACLs.
Yeah.
But
oh my god, bro!
But came back like Superman.
Right, I was shocked, but people were their buttholes were puckered, man. They're like, that was the season, right?
Booties,
there.
Booties were clinched. Booties were definitely clinched. 100%.
He went to the locker room, drank that shit from Wakanda, came back. Yeah. Right? Never hurt.
I told you. The fucking secret, like that secret stuff from Space Jam, dude. You just drank it. It's just water, bro. It's just water. But I would agree with all of that. The Bucks thing, as soon as I got Doc Rivers, I was just...
Oh, yeah. I forgot
about that.
They fired their coach and got Doc Rivers. That's crazy.
Like, what?
That's another thing working against them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, so you want a first-round exit every year? That's the only reason you bring Doc in. He proves he can't get it done. Like, he got the one ring, and that's about it. So, I'm not a fan.
No,
he didn't get
that ring.
Decently. He really didn't get that ring.
KG, no. Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, and Rondo, they got that
ring. Oh, yeah.
It was,
Doc didn't get that ring.
To him.
Doc
right.
was along for the ride.
Exactly. So, consolation prize again, but he does get that. With the play-in, I have the same thing you guys have. Again, who gives a shit about the Bulls? We're not doing shit. I have Sixers over Heat. Literally, Embiid changes the entire thing. And... honestly, I have Heat beating the Bulls just to kind of sneak into. But when you come to dark horses, again, I'm going to agree with my boy Kenny here. The Heat, playoff Jimmy, I don't care. You cannot bet against it. Mm. He will turn something on. He'll find Rachel Nichols. I don't care what he's got to do. But when the playoffs turn on, Jimmy Butler is an absolute menace. It doesn't matter how the season went. So you got to erase the Miami Heat's regular season. This is when they shine. So if anybody is going to be somewhat of a dark horse, I think it's Miami. But I don't see it necessarily happening this time. They're a little depleted now. It's not the same Heat. But we're weak enough in the East where the Heat could still make some upsets here. Let's play spoiler a little bit. So that's a little crazy. Honestly, in the entire East, I got Celtics over Heat in 5. Knicks over the Cavs, which Ryan will think is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Pacers over Magic. I got the Sixers beating the Bucks, which is actually surprising. All in all, I got Celtics coming out of this just right on top, running through every one of these fucking teams. So,
man, you think? Wait, who'd you say? You said the Magic and who?
Well, I said Pacers over Magic if it happens that way.
Oh, if it happens that way,
yeah. I'm looking at if nothing changes, yeah. Then the Magic and the Pacers should play each other. But
I like the Magic. I'm not gonna lie.
History tells me I can't.
Paolo is a fucking dog.
Absolutely.
Jonathan Isaac and that whole second unit that they have is one of the best defensive units in the league. I think they match up very well against the Pacers. I take the Magic over the Pacers if they match up. Because it's all about matchups. It's all about matchups, right?
Styles make fights, like you say.
And that's why I don't have a dark horse in the East, is because the Heat would play the Celtics.
I'm just saying. They're not going to win.
The Heat's offense all year has been sluggish to be nice. And I'm being nice. They average 109 points a game. Their opponents average 108.
So that's why
I can't pick them as a dark horse this year. Their offense is lackluster all season long.
I feel that. But again, all season long, I'm saying forget the season, because for some reason, when the playoffs start, they just something turns on for them every fucking year. So I can't bet against them. I'm sick of losing bets all the fucking time. So, but yes, sir. Celtics out of the East. But Rizzy, what do you got for the West play-in? That's way spicier.
Not for the West. I pray to God every day that the Pelicans fall and either the Suns, the Lakers, or the Warriors move up to 6.
Please, God.
Because I need the 3 best players in the NBA. That's LeBron, Steph, and KD. Yes, they're still the best players in the NBA. I need all 3 of them to be in the playoffs.
Please.
That's the only reason why I pray that happens. But after watching the Suns last night, I don't know what the fuck happened to their offense. Their offense looked completely terrible with Bradley Beal. I don't know what the fuck is going on. It's like all they run is an isolation, and they pray that one of their superstars hits a spectacular shot. And when their superstars are hitting spectacular shots, duh, it looks beautiful, because you don't have to coach that. And that's my point. What the fuck is Frank Vogel doing?
I didn't see it coming.
He's watching.
He's supposed to be some type of defensive guru, but they're still giving up 113 points a game.
Oh, sad.
I don't like the Suns and where they're going. I mean, if the season were to end today, they'd match up with the Kings, and I'd pick them over the Kings, even though I think the Kings are a very good and tough matchup for the Suns because of Sabonis, because of De'Aaron Fox, and because of my guy Malik Monk. You see two Kentucky guards. These Kentucky guards, man. They keep making appearances.
Hell yeah.
I'm a big fan of Malik Monk. I think he's going to bring a lot of energy off that bench if they play against the Suns, and it's going to be a tough matchup, but I'll edge the Suns. Pause.
Yeah,
I'll give the edge to the Suns.
You what now?
Yeah.
I'll give the edge to the Suns because of the experience.
Yeah,
I think that's going to matter in the playoffs. But not with the Lakers and Warriors. Like, now this, like, I'd rather see this in a 7-game series.
Yes.
The Warriors just beat the Lakers last night, and I watched that entire game. Draymond Green could not miss. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with his arm. That motherfucker had a rocket launcher flamethrower on his right hand.
Damn.
He could not miss. This season?
it's, like, physically painful for you to say it.
I'm going to take the Warriors.
I can't believe it.
I'm going to take the Warriors, man.
Oh, my God.
Ah, man.
I'm going to take the Warriors.
For those of you who did not hear us last season at this time, this man was on the Lakers' dick so fucking hard the whole time. LeBron this, and I said, it's the Warriors. They can't take the Warriors. And I was wrong, which is fine. But to hear you flip on it is very interesting.
I'll tell you why. All right. I got to bring out the chalkboard for this.
There we go.
So the Warriors run. All right. So Draymond Green will catch the ball somewhere right here. Right.
The fucking visuals.
Steph Curry will be right here on the left side. You'll see why. And they'll have Wiggins dumbass right here who doesn't do anything. And then Klay Thompson will be in this corner. Klay Thompson's always in the strong side corner. And they'll have somebody in the dunker spot, probably Gary Payton, Kevon Looney, somebody right there. Draymond will have the ball. He'll do this dribble handoff thing, right? Set a screen. Curry will come over here. Most of the time, Draymond, his guy ain't going to guard him. Draymond's guy is going to be right here, right there. Oh, I'm going to make an O.
There you go.
And why is this so effective yet so simple? Because when Curry's guy gets screened, Curry's guy is out of the picture. It doesn't even matter anymore. Curry gets the ball here. What are you going to do? You're going to help off Clay? I hope not, because you're getting fired. You help off Clay, you getting benched, coach getting fired. Big steps up. Curry's going to go right by him. This guy helps. Kevon Looney's right in the dunker spot to get a dunk. This guy drops. Wiggins has a backdoor cut. After Looney flashes, he has a backdoor cut. Wiggins can finish. And again, you are not going to help off Clay. This guy's going to be right here the whole fucking time. Because if Clay's shooting an open three, someone's getting benched and someone's getting fired.
Yeah.
And I say all that to say this. When they played the Timberwolves, and Kenny's a Timberwolves fan, this action right here is going to give the Timberwolves problems. Because who's going to guard Draymond? Probably Rudy Gobert?
No, that's gonna be horrendous, bro.
Probably Cat. God damn, if that was Cat,
bro. Are you kidding me? He's also
Cat is getting chopped up. Like this action right here is what the Warriors were running yesterday. The only difference was Draymond caught it here and said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna just shoot it," and he made every single one.
Wow,
yeah, no.
That's why I like the Warriors.
I'm telling you, we gotta get you a telestrator, dude. Just we're gonna make it happen. You need like that live action shit. That was beautiful. All right, Kenny, what you got in the play-in, bro?
Play-in. Yes, I'm going to agree with Ryan here. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Warriors beating the Lakers. Just because when they're hot, they're hot. Like when they're scoring, it's just automatic every time. And for the Kings and the Suns, I mean, just watching the Suns play, what was it, last night, right? Dude, I don't know what the score was, but I saw it on Facebook and that thing was like, terrible. It was like horrendous.
It was 33-4.
Oh my. Yeah. That was crazy.
Damn.
Oh.
But also, I really like Malik Monk's game, and I got to go with the Kings beating the Suns.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Also, I really like Sabonis, too. Sabonis is also leading the league in triple doubles, too, 26. And yeah.
Yes.
I mean, who does the Sun have at center? Because I don't know if anyone can actually guard him.
Nurkic, right?
Nurkic is, he might be out.
Oh, really?
Oh, is he out? Oh, damn.
He didn't play last night.
Oh.
Bobo.
Bobo, <That's> yeah.
Bobo.
Yeah, I know, right? KD, oh. Bobo, the demigods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, I think Sabonis is going to go crazy, though.
Yeah, that's going to be the problem.
Mm.
Give me Sabonis and Malik Monk off the bench, because whether it's Eric Gordon or Bradley Beal, they're getting cooked.
Oh, yeah. Especially the way Beal's been playing. My God. Yeah. All right, Stephen. Run it, bro.
All right. So Lakers and Warriors. I'm gonna be the odd man's out and say the Lakers might pull it through. Ooh. Because they've been pretty, I mean, okay, the West is, the entire West is good.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody's +500 or something. And that's crazy. That it's is
killers.
That is yeah. LeBron, AD, Rui is cold. He is cold.
Shout out Rui a lot.
Rui is cold.
He's got it.
But started the season with the Warriors. I was really hoping more for Curry and Chris Paul. I thought they were going to be a very dominant duo. I mean, they are still pretty decent.
But they're good.
Yeah, they're good. But I think the Lakers might pull it through just because I don't know. I don't really see the Warriors beating them.
No, I can see that because LeBron has their number.
Mm-hmm.
As LeBron, we see, yes.
In the playoffs, he just knows how to beat the Warriors.
Exactly. Yep.
Blueprint.
Without KD.
Yeah.
Asterisk. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta put that out there.
Yep. And then the Kings and Suns. The Suns were supposed to be so fucking good this season. They're supposed to be so fucking good. I was hoping they were going to be maybe top five, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But they barely even got them playing.
Yeah.
I think the Kings are obviously beating them, in my opinion. Hopefully, nobody took offense off of that. KD's a beast. I'm sorry, Ryan, but I don't think KD can make it out of this one, dude.
No, like I said, I mean, shit. The Kings are tough.
Yeah,
they are.
The bonus, they're those so two good. Kentucky guards, and then Keegan Murray.
Oh yeah, Keegan Murray. Dude is a sniper, bro. He is a sniper.
Yeah.
He is a sniper.
Dude is a red green pie chart.
Yeah.
Oh.
Red green.
Nice. Hell yeah. That's Honestly, this is gonna shock Ryan. I had the Lakers over the Warriors here. Mm-hmm. I know.
Two.
But it's not LeBron for me though. It's Anthony Davis. I think if you're getting the best version of Anthony Davis, that is going to be enough to take down the Warriors. If you're getting busted ass AD, this is a wrap. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. But from what I've been seeing, I think Lakers actually have this again. I don't know why, but I agree with the whole, they have the blueprint. I just think in the playoffs against the Warriors, LeBron knows how to get the job done. Period. If the Warriors win, I'll be happy. But I'm not allowed to be happy normally. So I'm going with the Lakers begrudgingly. And I do agree it's Kings over Suns, and the Suns are probably the most disappointing for me this season. What the hell happened? They're supposed to be the Celtics of the West, like just running through, just playing people out of the fucking building. And for some reason, it's just not clicking. I thought Beal was going to be the missing piece. What? I don't know. There's no answer for Phoenix, and I'm a big KD guy, so it sucks for me to pick the Kings over them, but the Kings showed you last playoffs that they are a legit threat. I think they pick up where they leave off here, and I actually have the Kings going on kind of a run here, so we'll see. But my eyes on the Kings for a lot of this playoffs. They're very fun to watch.
No, so, all these playing games in the West are coin flips, in my opinion.
Yeah, honestly, for sure. But how do you see the rest of it going, Riz?
Honestly, these playing teams are probably the best teams in the West.
from what I'm seeing,
in a 7-game series, I'm not gonna lie. Like, say the key. All right, so. I mean, obviously, whoever gets Denver is probably going to lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Denver's probably going to beat them. Yep. But they're going to push Denver, say, whether it's the Kings or even the Suns, they're going to push Denver to 6 games minimum.
That's what I have to.
And then the Timberwolves, that's where it gets interesting. Kenny's a Timberwolves fan, but I just got to be real. Whether they play the Lakers or whether they play the Warriors, they're going to lose.
I don't buy them. No.
Because of the same action I drew up earlier, that dribble handoff with Draymond and Steph coming off the weak side is unguardable, especially when you're playing against a team that plays two traditional bigs, because most of the time they're going to be in drop coverage. And that's the thing that's going to get all these teams killed when they play the Warriors. They're going to play in drop coverage. Curry's going to make them pay. Draymond is going to get hot in one of these stupid-ass games and make them pay. my team to watch in the West are the Dallas Mavericks.
Interesting.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Why, Kenny? Why do you have the Mavs? Why do you like the Mavs?
Well, that team is actually my dark horse team, and also, I'm pretty sure we're gonna transition into like the MVP talk and everything. But I have Luka as winning the 2024 MVP. But I don't really have a reason why, but I just have the Mavericks just because that whole team is just pretty good, especially when Luka's playing. And yeah, I don't really have a good reason, but
you don't need a reason.
Yeah, it's cool if you have Karen. One,
but yeah, sometimes it's a gut. Yeah, sometimes you steal that shit. I get it. I base a lot of my opinions on just gut feelings.
This is why this specific action right here is why I like the Dallas Mavericks. So this is Luka. What the Mavericks like to do is run dual drag screens. So just like in football, a drag, you know, short route right there. So you see two dual drag screens. This guy's normally a shooter, so a Tim Hardaway, PJ Washington. This guy's normally a dunker, so Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford. This is Kyrie in the corner coming off this pin down right here from like a Derek, what's his name? Derek Jones.
Yes.
Whatever wing is useless offensively. So this is a very simple like scheme. But what Luka and the Mavericks do well is take advantage of the mistakes that you make. Luka is going to move 5 miles per hour at all times.
As always.
He's going to jump over, barely jump over a log.
Nope.
But he will make the right decision every single time. If this guy that pops up, okay, so Luka's obviously not worried about his defender. This guy pops up, and this guy helps on Kyrie, and this guy is still in drop coverage. Kyrie's going to hit this guy, Tim Hardaway, for a wide-open three. Tim Hardaway, sniper. This guy's going to roll to the bucket. Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford are shooting over 70% from the field. They're going to get that dunk every single time. This Kyrie's man on the way here, if he gets stuck here and tries to help on the drive from Luka, who's guarding Kyrie?
Mm.
Nobody. And who can guard Kyrie? Nobody.
Unguardable.
So that action specifically is why I like the Mavericks, because they can run that against any team, any type of personnel, and they're going to find a mismatch somewhere, kind of like what the Boston Celtics do in the East. And they're going to capitalize on it, and they're always going to make the right play.
I like it. I will go ahead and walk back comments I made last season about it. I did stand on business when I said it. When Kyrie and Luka first matched up together, I wasn't convinced it was the right call. I thought they were an odd duo with the way they were running schemes in Dallas. I didn't think it'd work. They have completely changed my mind. Those two together are very cohesive, and I really like they complement each other's game. But there's no ego there, too. Luka is very complimentary of Kyrie. You know, he's talking about Kyrie like, that's the Batman, I'm the Robin. Like, those two together have actually improved the team overall. The, what are they, a fifth now? Fifth seed? Not bad, so. You know? 48 and 30? A very solid season. So, I can admit, I was absolutely wrong about those guys. When it comes to how far they go, I am actually pretty far in the second round. Overall, I have them somehow running into the Thunder, which for me would be a great matchup. And I actually have Thunder coming out of this one. I really like what the Thunder are doing. I'm not calling them a dark horse, because everyone knows Oklahoma City is legit. Gilgeous Alexander is a perennial MVP contender already. So that team in the West, I think, is the one you just don't want to see. And I think Dallas is the one that's going to fall for it. I actually have like the Nuggets coming out of the West again somehow. Mm-hmm. But I have them taking it over the Thunder in the conference finals. So I would really like that Euro basketball versus that youth movement you see in Oklahoma City, but we'll see. But the Mavs, I have them doing pretty well. I actually agree with the Timberwolves. Sorry, bro. I know that's your squad. It's fool's gold to me. It's fool's gold to me, bro. Like, it's
not Ant's fault. It's not Ant's fault.
It's not Ant's fault, no. It's just, it's not sustainable. I know they... To me, the Timberwolves are the biggest overachieving team in the fucking league. So like, it's a great record. 54 and 24 is nothing to sneeze at. But I don't know, man. These guys aren't really that tested yet, especially in a playoff capacity. I think they'll have a good showing, but I don't think they get out of the first round. That's just me. I'd like to be wrong. I like when fresh blood kind of rises to the top and we get some of these new exciting teams in here. I don't think Minnesota's there yet, but that'd be fun to watch if they were. But my first guess is, nope, one and done. Sorry about that, guys.
Who do you like in the West?
I like the Clippers. Clippers.
The Clippers?
The Clippers.
Yeah, I like the Clippers.
Ooh, yeah. Why?
Why is that?
Because, okay, first off, my guy, Russell Westbrook. I always like Russell Westbrook. That is my dog.
Of sure. course.
Shout and out. plus the extra three superstars that they got.
Yeah.
I feel like they have, like, such a good depth to their team.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's really That's good. especially when they got Bones Highland getting no minutes. Like, bro, like, dude, he's so good and he gets no minutes. Like,
I don't get that.
Yeah. Oh, what's the name? Norman Powell. Right, right.
Dog.
Yeah, he is a dog. He is a dog.
He probably six men, maybe. Or him and Malik Monk, six men of the year.
I can see that.
For sure.
Yeah. Ryan's a big fan of the Clips, for sure. He has shouted them out. He's a big Paul George guy. So it's
I love Paul George.
Paul George is the best. Yeah. Paul George is so good.
So smooth. If I could play like anybody in the NBA, it'd be Paul George.
Paul George. Yep.
So smooth.
So good. He's a tall Kyrie.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
he's a tall Kyrie.
I like that. That's a good comparison. I think like the Clippers, but I don't know, man. I think the matchup is going to be very dependent on it.
Especially against the Mavericks, yeah.
Yeah, if they were to play the Mavs, I'd favor the Mavs.
I don't. Yeah.
Because Luka has their number.
Yeah.
Luka has their
Luka does. Yeah, Luka does.
Luka has the Suns' number.
Yeah, he got everybody's number.
Yeah.
We got receipts. They're on a hot streak, too.
It's all about matchups. I think if the Clippers get the Thunder, I think that's a good matchup for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because one thing the Thunder doesn't do well is rebound.
That's fair.
They're undersized. But they make up for that with their transition offense.
Yep.
Because they are dangerous in transition, especially when Jalen Williams is coming down with a full head of steam and you got Shea running to the wing.
Dangerous.
So, I mean, I think Oklahoma City might be an early exit depending on who they get. Like, for example,
I can see it.
If the Lakers snag the seventh seed and Oklahoma gets the second seed, I think the Lakers beat the Thunder.
Interesting.
Because of the sheer size, because of LeBron James and his experience. Shea's great. Jalen Williams is great. Chet is – I have mixed feelings about Chet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's very skilled.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I like the young pieces the Thunder have. But, again, in playoff minutes, playoff time, like, you need to get rebounds. You need to get stops.
Absolutely.
And I think they're not going to be able to do that with an undersized team going against a team like the Lakers, like the Clippers, like the Mavericks. But that's just what I think.
Well, that's why we ask you. It's your show, you know. But, yes, with Thunder, I said I love the youth movement, but you're right. Especially when it comes to a lot of these bigger teams, playoff experience is going to be huge. And that's the one team that really doesn't have it. So we'll see. But I do like it.
That could work in their favor because they're so ignorant to the situation.
Yep.
They might be like the 2012 Thunder, just say, you know, fuck y'all old ass people. Right. And just go on a run.
Oh, yeah.
Because the young Thunder, they beat Kobe, they beat Tim Duncan, and they beat Dirk Nowitzki. All it's old ass people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 22, 23 years old. It was, you know, KD, Russ, Harden.
But I kind of hope Thunder take it all because I really want to know what SGA is going to say in his IG captions. His IG captions are so hard.
IG captions
go crazy. So I kind of hope they take it all just so I can see what he's going to type.
I was choking my whiskey.
My favorite caption was when he was talking about two in the West.
Yeah.
It was
like bars.
I like that one.
Yeah, it was straight bars, bro.
Oh, man. But no, I'm glad you said that because it actually brings me to my next question. And I know we're talking Celtics and bubbling about them being champions. I do want to know all your official championship picks. Are you all running with the Celtics or?
Start with Stefan.
Stefan, let's go.
Man, so wish list, I hope Clippers take it all. But Nuggets, Celtics, and I think Celtics got it in the bag, especially with Kristaps.
You gotta pick one. Kristaps. This is Celtics.
Celtics got it.
It's like the Kristaps. That's hilarious.
No,
you're talking. Yeah. Oh, I know, but I'm saying, how much shit were we talking about that move when it happened? We're like, what the hell are they doing? But look at that. Yeah, yeah. Now he's a main factor. So it's funny how things change in just a matter of months.
Crazy.
It's crazy, but okay. But you think Celtics for sure.
Celtics, yep.
What about Kristaps?
Kristaps, dude, he's been pretty dominant. Like I think he's going back to his New York Knicks roots. He really brings a lot to the team, and everybody plays defense. Kristaps can just kind of stand and be tall. So I like it.
Great shot blocking too.
Yeah.
Just puts his hands up. Doesn't move. Okay. That's fair. Kenny,
you have Celtics over Nuggets.
Yeah.
That's your final. Okay, perfect. Yeah. I want to know your finals too. Yeah. So Celtics over Nuggets. Kenny, what you got?
Oh my God. I really, obviously, since I'm a Timberwolves fan, I really want the Timberwolves to win it all. But, you know, due to the lack of experience in the playoffs, I'm going to go with you guys too. Like, well, I agree with you guys. I don't think Tua's going to make it past the second round. Mm-hmm. Or they might even lose the first round too. Just because Golden State and Lakers, they're like, they have the experience. And they're actually like part of my dark horse too. Because I don't think anyone, well, like during First Take and all of these talk shows, like they never talked about the 8th and 9th seed mm-hmm. ever. But now they're talking about Golden State and Lakers, and it's pretty scary. But
they have to now. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's probably going to be a rematch from last year, Nuggets and Boston. But I really want the Celtics to win just because I think that will like be like very good for Jason Tatum's legacy.
Absolutely.
And, but I also want the Thunder. I don't know who to choose, but I think it's probably going to be the Nuggets that's going to win it all.
Oh, he's got Nuggets to repeat.
Yeah.
So you have Nuggets over Celtics, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Damn.
Interesting.
But
I like
actually,
it.
Actually, now that I think about it, when I'm watching the Nuggets play, when I'm watching the Nuggets play, every time when Jokic is out of the game, the Nuggets, they look like they're in shambles. And like they need Jokic to go on the field if they actually want to have a chance. So actually, yeah, I'm going to have Celtics.
Bro, what?
Celtics is going to win.
Well, yeah, unless Jokic plays 48 minutes a game.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Which is not happening.
Yeah, unless Jokic never goes on the bench, then they're, I don't know, they actually have a chance. But yeah,
I'm busy watching his horses.
I was just going to say, Jokic wants to go home. Jokic is tired. He's tired.
He don't give a fuck at all. He's just trying to go home and watch his horses.
Exactly.
I know.
He's made that clear. Stop putting that man in games. He's done. He got his. All right, Rizzy. What's the choice here?
So, obviously, I got the Celtics coming out the East. Mm. But in the West, I got the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm. Mm.
I think they got the bodies to throw at Jokic. And I think they got the depth and the guard play in Luka and Kyrie to get over the hump. Kyrie's been there. Kyrie hit the biggest clutch shot in NBA history.
Ever.
So,
I agree.
I really like what the Mavericks are doing. I told you at the beginning of the season, I told you, Kyrie and Luka are figuring it out. And they're gonna be there in the playoffs, and they're going to sneak up on a lot of people. But, man, what a storyline. Kyrie versus Boston in the final.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Old team.
Oh, my God.
Fire.
I got – and honestly, man, Boston's just too good of a team. I mean, did you know the most efficient play that the Boston Celtics run is a pick and roll between Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis?
Oh, fuck. That's so crazy.
And I didn't even mention Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like, the best play that they can run, according to the numbers, doesn't even have to deal with their two best players.
That's crazy.
How good they are.
That's wild.
So when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown touch the ball, it's just their world, and they just make tough shots, really. And one thing I like about Jaylen Brown that he's doing this year that he didn't do last year, and why he's shooting a career high 50% from the field, he's attacking the basket. He's not settling for mid-range jumpers. He's not settling for threes. He's getting downhill, whether if it's his left hand or right hand, he's getting to the cup. Because, you know, the knock on Jaylen Brown is he can't go left.
No, right. Oh, man.
But when he's been going left, he's been finishing at the rim, which is why he's shooting 50% from the field this year. And then, obviously, we know who Jason Tatum is. So,
right. Enough said there.
I got Celtics. It'd be Celtics in six over the Mavericks.
Okay. I like it. Ooh. I'm actually going along with the chalk here. I think Celtics, again, I don't see how you bet against them. They've been dominant all year with the East the way it is, just in total shambles. Celtics should, again, key word is should, run through any of these fucking teams in this playoff. I don't even care. They are so well-rounded. I have them going over the Nuggets. I think Jokic makes his way back, but I have Celtics in six. If not seven, I think that series is going to be a little tougher than Boston fans are going to want to admit, especially if Jokic is not being lazy like he wants to be. If you're getting prime champion Jokic, that's a firefight. But I think Boston's got enough weapons. Again, their top two players are the best, to me, some of the best in the world. So if as long as they are staying dominant, especially on defense too, I don't see anybody being able to hang too long with Boston. Now, unless they screw this up somehow, Boston should be getting a ring this year. It's been a long time coming here. It's been gestating for a while. Yeah. So it's about time here. Let's get over the hump.
We've been getting edged.
That's it.
We've been getting edged.
It's time.
I already know. Right. He's going to recreate that Kobe picture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that's my official pick. I think a lot of us have Boston winning this entire fucking thing. So it's going to be a dope tournament. I can't fucking wait. But sorry, Milwaukee fans. I know we are mostly a Midwest kind of podcast. We're trying to go global, but Bucks fans, buckle up. This ain't your year. I'm sorry. It's
16 and 18 with Doc.
That's just that's not going to get it done.
Oh,
it's God, not going to get it done.
Oh,
that's typical Doc to me. And I like Dame. I love the combination with Giannis, but this needs some more time in the oven. And I don't think Doc is the right cook in the kitchen, to be honest, but that's neither here nor there.
You know what's crazy? Doc.
What's that?
Doc was an advisor before he was an advisor for the Bucks before he became the Bucks coach.
That's why I didn't like the move in the first place. I'm like, he kind of snuck into that spot, but we won't.
I feel like he knew what he was talking about.
Right. Like, he's a little too in the know for an advisor at the time. So I didn't like it, but that's Milwaukee for you. I just, I don't see them going far at all. And this might be another embarrassing exit. So buckle up, Bucks fans.
Hey, real quick. Let's get MVP picks.
Let's start with Stephen. Stephen, go ahead. Okay. Who's your MVP?
All right. Okay. So I was looking at the list. I think a clear choice is Jokic. I think he has like a 50% probability of winning it. And that's like 40 above everybody. I was kind of hoping Shea might get it with his 31 points a game. He's a dog. He's been kind of killing it this whole entire season.
He got 40 last night.
That's crazy. That's 131. So, geez, that's an Instagram caption right there.
Shea has scored 30 more times than he scored 20.
That's crazy. That is a crazy stat. That's a crazy stat. Something that surprised me was Rudy Gobert's on this list.
What the fuck? Why?
Yeah, why? For some reason. He's on the list. Yeah, he's on the pick. I wish I was lying, but yeah, he is on the list. Tyrese is also on the list. Man, Tyrese Halliburton's on the list. I think after All-Star break, he kind of slowed down just a little bit, but he's been killing it for sure. Yeah, he has been killing it. First half of the season, but yeah,
from Oshkosh.
Yeah, from Oshkosh, our Wisconsin fellow brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Jokic. Yeah, I think Jokic's clear pick.
You got Jokic.
Yep,
I like it. I like it. Kenny, what do you think?
Yep, like I said earlier, I have Luka winning the MVP. I'm pretty sure this is gonna be his award. Just because, like, if we're being honest, like 4 years ago, we was already talking about Luka being like the MVP, but it was just record wise that's been holding him back. And the reason why I have Luka winning the MVP is because he's leading the league in points per game this year, and just in scoring in general. And also, don't forget that he dropped 73 points against the Hawks earlier this season too.
How can you forget that?
They refused the blitz, the drag screen pick and roll with Luka. And that's what happens. You get 70 dropped on you. Clean.
Dude walked into 73.
It was crazy.
Right. Unbelievable.
And, and also he also broke Russell Westbrook's triple-double record for like the most 30-point triple-doubles in a row with six, which is
huge.
It's crazy how good Luka is. Yeah. And if people want to base MVPs on like, you know, standings and rankings and everything, when Jokic won it back in 2021, his team was ranked, I think, was it fifth or sixth?
Yeah, they were pretty low.
Yeah, it was low.
They were pretty low. Yep. But yeah, but right now Luka is standing at fifth place with the Mavericks. Also, I really want Shai Gilgeous to win it just because I think he's like a fan favorite too. And I think when he wins it, it's going to be crazy too. And also, he also leads the NBA with most 30 points games, like what Seven said, with 50. And he also leads the league in steals too. And he's also like been consistent in that top three range in points per games and also MVP candidates too. But yeah, anyways, I have Luka winning it all though for MVP. And also, I don't want to see Jokic winning three MVPs.
Yeah,
he doesn't care about the narrative. Just go out there and go crazy. And
right. That narrative about Jokic winning three in a row has been very hot. There's a lot of experts who are just like, we cannot allow it to happen.
Yeah.
They would kill the game of basketball. And I'm like, damn, is that serious? Like, Jokic is averaging 26 and a half points, 12 and a half rebounds, and 9 assists. Like, I get you don't want a third MVP, but those are practically MVP numbers for a team, for the leader of a championship team trying to do a comeback, a repeat title, and they've already been in that 1-2 position most of the time. So he's keeping them competitive. He's got them on the precipice of another title, and he's putting the stats up for it. Unfortunately, that's what an MVP does. And as much as I would love if it was Shea, because I think he's a master, and I think he's going to get MVPs in his future. It's just a matter of when. But
when
I can
Jokic
see
is out of the league.
When Jokic is done next year, when he's got another ring, he's like, okay, I'm done with this shit. But I can see why Jokic getting a third MVP. I'll put it this way. Like, the FanDuel Sportsbook already got rid of the MVP odds because he was that far ahead. So I just don't see how it's not Jokic. It's kind of a done deal. But Rizzy, I want to know what you think. Does he deserve it, or is somebody else?
No, so all right. So I'm kind of torn. Mm. Obviously, those are the top three, right? In no particular order, I guess it's Jokic first. and then Luka and Shea, however you want to shake it up, right?
Yep.
But in my opinion, I think Luka Doncic is the MVP. That's what my head says.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's averaging pretty much a 33-point triple-double. Right. He's 33-9-9. So, I mean, you can't deny those numbers. And I get Jokic is 28-12-9. Like, cool. I get it.
Right.
But to me, 33-9-9 looks a little sexier, in my opinion.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
You're not wrong.
But
sexier.
But my heart really wants Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to win it.
Yes.
Because
people's choice.
He's been my favorite player to watch all season long. The way he operates in the mid-range, the way he starts and stops, the way he can change speeds, the way he finishes at the rim, the way he can get his teammates involved if you double, the way he can hit clutch shots even when he's having an off night, like against the Knicks.
Yes.
He was terrible against the Knicks. Jalen Williams had like 33, 38, some shit like that. Last play of the game, who did they draw the play for? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. What was it? A baseline fadeaway on the weak side, and he hit that bitch.
As he should.
He hit that bitch like three times already this season, if you count that shot. So I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I don't think I want him to win MVP, but like, I mean, 30, 31, 6, and 6. I mean, obviously 33-9-9 looks a whole lot better.
Of course.
What Shai has in his favor is the rankings, the overall record, team record. I hate that always goes into consideration when it comes to these awards, because
every year
we're talking about MVP, that's an individual award. We're not calling it the MVT, most valuable team award.
Right.
So I don't think there's a player more valuable to their team right now, in my opinion, than Luka Doncic. That's what my head says. I don't want to believe it, but that's what my head says.
Right.
You can make the argument for Jokic too, because like Kenny said, when Jokic is off the floor, they look mediocre as fuck.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Very accurate.
But, I mean, you got games where Luka and Kyrie combined for 80 of the 120 points that the Mavericks score. So it's like, I don't know. I can't. This is one of the tightest MVP races we've had in a while.
Yep. Mostly.
I can't really argue with anybody that you pick, but I'm going to go with Luka.
I could definitely see Luka. And I wouldn't be surprised by Luka or, honestly, if Shai gets it somehow, that's the shocking thing. It's the right call, in my opinion, but like that would be bonkers. Something must have happened. But Luka getting it wouldn't shock me one at all. At all. He's absolutely a monster on the court. So here we go again. Luka and Jokic, these two white European dudes, just sitting at the top of the mountain yet again. I don't know how they're doing it. They're the laziest dudes in the league, and they just make it work every season. So
slow as shit. Like I'm faster than both of them.
Right. I'm faster than both. You know me. I'm old as fuck. So
and fucking Shay's from Canada.
Right. Oh, yeah. That doesn't even count.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and also Giannis. Don't forget Giannis.
And Giannis is from Wakanda.
Yeah, that's true.
He's from Wakanda.
That's the thing. How crazy is it that we're not even talking about Giannis's MVP?
Oh yeah.
Like, that's
I was about to mention that too.
Yeah. That's absolutely insanity, but it does show you how things can quickly change in this league. One year you're hot shit, next year you're just shit. So
I think it's I really think it's because like the media views him as being the same player he was the year before. Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't hold same weight. But you gotta think about it. Like dude's averaging damn near 30 and 12.
Yeah. Right.
And like that's 5. Insane. 30, 12, and 5. So like damn near Jokic numbers. He just does it so consistently that no one bats an eye anymore.
It looks mediocre, but
right.
But that shit is crazy.
It's the same thing with like LeBron. When LeBron had that run with Cleveland and Miami when he was younger,
right?
He could have won MVP every single season, but like he didn't win it because he kept doing the same thing over and over again, which was average 37-7, and people just got bored of it.
Right. I could barely score 7. So averaging like 37 to me is alien. Like
I could barely get 5 in my Sunday league, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I know it's crazy.
Right. I'm saying I can barely get 7 like just by myself. Not in a game. I don't compete. I'm saying I'm just standing in a corner shooting. Maybe I'll get 7 in like 3 hours.
In your backyard, you mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's, 3 hours, 7 points right there.
Yeah, that's my average. There you go. I put all the minutes in, bro. My goodness. It's gonna be exciting. I cannot wait for these playoffs to crack off. It's gonna be great. And again, stay tuned to the show. Make sure you keep following us because we're going to have all results. We're going to break down games in these series all the way to a championship. So plenty of NBA coverage coming for you very fucking soon. Pause. I think that's a pause moment. Yeah, that's fine. It's coming for everybody, I guess. So in case your brothers haven't heard the show, at this point is when I kick it to Rizzy for his last words, in which I say last words, but for him, it's usually like another 20-minute monologue. So buckle up, folks. But Rizzy, what are your last words for your adoring fans?
So I'm gonna take a step outside of the sports box at the moment as CJ chokes on his whiskey.
No, it wasn't a whiskey. I had like something stuck in my tooth and I had to spit it out because it was like, we had salmon for dinner. I'm still full of fish right now, so nice. I'm still getting some of the salmon. So you excuse my manners. I'm sorry about that. It was
nice.
It was either gonna be here or it was gonna be right into the camera. So, but go ahead.
But I want to talk about music. Something my guy CJ loves.
Absolutely.
Kendrick.
Ah, you knew it.
Yeah, Kendrick Cole.
You knew it.
We got to talk about it a little bit.
So that boy Kendrick Lamar started a fucking war. We thought it was a war.
We thought
it was a war. Don't get me wrong. Personally, I thought the verse was fire. It wasn't Kendrick's best work, but I thought the verse was fire. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. Motherfuck the big three.
Yeah. It's just big. Like
that's on repeat. It's on repeat every day for me.
Honestly, like it blew me away because that's the only thing he said about J. Cole was that everything else was directed right at Drake. He was coming right at Drake.
Hell yeah.
And then, you know, J. Cole drops this beautiful project. I mean, beautiful project. And this is being overshadowed by that 7-minute drill, the response to Kendrick Lamar. And honestly, that shit was pretty fire too. I'm not going to lie.
It was.
You could tell J. Cole was holding back, but he was saying some shit in there if you understood what he was saying. You'd be like, oh, damn, that's a bar. Oh, that's a bar. But J. Cole's always been like that. You got to understand what he's saying to really understand his bars. But then J. Cole, the other day at Dreamville Fest, he recanted and he apologized for what he did. And he's been getting trolled. I ain't going to lie.
That's an easy way of putting it.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, I understand where he's coming from. Not because I'm a J. Cole fanatic, but he said something very specific. He said, it didn't sit right with my spirit.
Thank you.
And if you haven't gone through like any type of mental, spiritual transformation of your own, you wouldn't understand that. And I wouldn't expect you to understand it. I expect you to be a troll. But when you do something that you know is out of alignment with what you feel in here and what you know in here, it's a terrible feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. And so J. Cole's never been the type of rapper, even if you diss him, to diss you back. Look at Lil Pump and what he did on 1985. He didn't even diss him back. He just gave him game. Like, look, you need to get your shit together because in a couple years, you're going to fall off. And guess what? He fell off.
He fell off hard, boy.
So, and you got to think, like, J. Cole and Kendrick, they friends. You know what I mean? And so what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is that friendly competition was fire. I think that was needed in the game of hip-hop. Selfishly, I wish we got more of it. But the person, the human, the soul part of myself understands exactly where J. Cole is coming from because I struggle with those thoughts every day. Like, it doesn't have to do, obviously, I ain't beefing with nobody, but like, just with like the shit that I do, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna get in too many specifics, but you know, the conscious person knows that when you do something that's out of alignment with your spirit, with your soul, you can't go throughout your day normally like how you would go throughout your day on a regular basis. And so I want to challenge every listener, everybody this reaches, to get in touch with your damn self. And maybe you'll start to gain better perspective of the world.
Absolutely. So true. Kenny, what do you think about that non-rap beef?
I actually have no idea. I didn't even know that like that beef even was even a thing.
where have you been in the past like 3 weeks, bro?
I don't know. I just heard that verse and I thought it was fire.
Hey, sometimes it's all it's gotta be. He said, I don't follow NBA, I don't listen to rap. I'm like, okay. I love it.
I just live, man.
You just live. Hey, I dig that. That's what your brothers be preaching on the show. Just do your thing. Just live. Be yourself.
Yeah, just enjoy your life, man.
That's right. That's good. At least you're avoiding all that negativity. Stefan, have you been avoiding the negativity?
I have, actually. Like what Ryan said, you really got to be in tune with yourself. Really got to feel the world spiritually and physically and everything like that.
I absolutely agree with that. You said trolling. I honestly think people are just like losing their fucking minds. I got a few homies who post every other 10 minutes about this damn thing. And I'm like, it wasn't even all of that. As much as we like a good rap beef, and we've talked about this on the show before, we've had many music episodes, and we've talked about how some rappers, especially the legendary ones, have created legends because of rap beef. So I'm not knocking beef in general, but I like what you said, that it's competition. And it's the same with Kendrick. He's always said, like, he doesn't give a shit. It's competition for him. The way he sharpens his iron sharpens iron. And J. Cole and Kendrick they have such mutual respect for each other. And so when I heard what J. Cole was saying, too, that resonated with me as well, saying, like, they understand. This is not beef. It's competition. And honestly, that's as far as it even needs to go. So for people saying that J. Cole is a pussy and he backed up, he lost all his credibility. There's been so much bullshit said about J. Cole in the last 48 hours about his credibility, about he should quit. His career is over. He committed career suicide. I'm like, how about we look at this and say, this is growth, which is much needed in hip hop. We talk about Biggie and Tupac. How did it end in their rap beef? They're both dead. J. Cole understands that there's nothing to actually beef about that's worth your life. And Kendrick, I don't think he's not a gangster, so he's not going to go roll out. You know, all I'm saying is, like, there's competition, which is healthy, which changes the game, which makes everyone better, which makes us all love hip hop even better. And there's beef that doesn't even really need to exist in today's hip hop at all. And I think J. Cole absolutely understands that. And if anything, this makes me like him even more. I was already a big Cole fan. I'm a big Kendrick fan. I don't think you need to choose sides. Whatever this big three nonsense is, like all three. If you hate Drake and like the other two, whatever. If you like all three, cool. I don't think you need to pick a side. And honestly, of all arguments, this is the dumbest one when it comes to rap. All three of those cats, like Kendrick and Cole, are untouchable in their own right. So
Drake is the only one you can hate.
It'll be
understandable.
It's understandable for Drake. The other two, what are you bitching about? Them. You can't touch them. They're untouchable. So I think it shows Cole's growth as a mature man. I think he understands that that's a healthy mindset to keep. It's just, hey, he apologized, walked it back. We're cool. We need more of that on the planet. So
you know what? I want to bring this up to you, CJ, because I was thinking about this earlier. Because you're actually black, for those who didn't know.
They don't need to know that.
Mind blown. I didn't even know that.
He didn't mean that, y'all. He didn't mean that.
But, you know, like, the world, I'm going to just say the world, because I don't want to bring any other groups of people in this, but you and I know.
It's the world.
The world has always profited off of two black men, two intelligent black men at that, tearing each other down. So how many times are we going to have to go through this? How many times are we going to have to see this again and again and again, where we get two black men at the top of their field beefing, and it's for everyone else's entertainment and everyone else to profit off of?
Exactly. Which is already what Kendrick has been preaching. So if you've been paying attention.
To Pimp a Butterfly.
I agree. Oh, you know, that entire album talks about that. So, yeah, I fucking get it. And you're absolutely right. It is kind of the world problem. But yeah, dude, there's absolutely no need for it. You have to evolve in the game. That is 90s West Coast, East Coast mentality. You don't have that anymore. So, in fact, in my opinion, a lot of rap is trash now anyway. So there's really no room for beef in the first place. Who are you beefing with? You all suck. other than like maybe a handful of y'all fucking rappers out there, most of you are fucking garbage. So ain't nothing for you to beef about if you're all trash. Just be mad about it and get better. But those two, I'm not counting Drake. Those top two, just leave them alone. All they're gonna do is give you more bangers to work with. So just let them cook. That's all you gotta do.
Let them cook.
He's got the albums and everything. Look at him. Oh my god. Right. Are you kidding me? Just enjoy the fucking music. We ain't gotta dissect it all. It's all squashed. Plain and simple. But for other rap beef that we could always talk about, make sure you come and watch and listen and follow your boys. And we're at the Bank Bro Show. That's on YouTube. It's on Facebook and at gmail.com. You know we're at Bank Bro Show on Insta. Got more content coming for you. And like we said, make sure you guys come back next week and see which one of us, possibly even both, gets super trashed on our UFC picks, because I'm not confident in a lot of them, but this usually blows up in my face. So I'm going to be fucking trash next week. It's going to be a great show that we're going to have for you. Make sure you stay tuned. Yeah. Time I want to make sure we thank our guests, Kenny and Stefan. Really appreciate you coming on the show. We had a fucking blast. Hope you did too. And hope you come back and see us again.
It was amazing. Thanks for having us, man.
Absolutely. More than welcome. You know, your family, just like my boy is here. So for the rest of the family, all of our listeners out there, you know what it is. Bank Bros are in your city. We're here for you as we always are. And you can bank on it. Peace.
1, 2, 3. Backwards. Ha ha!